Cool, y'all awake? Man, that's awesome, isn't it? I am so excited as we've been talking about this new series, this King Jesus series. We're going to be talking about the life of Jesus and what it means to us as we make him king of our lives. And I hope you're as excited as we are to be able to teach it. And it all starts with Christmas. Perfect time to start this series is when we talk about the birth of the king. But before we even do that, I kind of had to wonder, because we throw this word around, this word king. Do we really know what a king is? I mean, like the word king. What does that even mean? I mean, kind of officially, we think, okay, it's a position of rulership over all things and people and land inside of a kingdom, right? A king, kind of throw that around. But I'm thinking, all right, maybe we could have some fun with this. So if it's okay with you guys, I want to give you a little quiz. All right, I'm going to see if you can identify some of the kings that are going to be on the screen. If you do, you win. All right? I don't know what that means, but you win. I'm just kind of appealing to the competitive people here, all right? Actually, I do. I've got some gold up here that I'm going to give to somebody who gets the most right answers. You can write them down or yell them out loud. It doesn't matter. You can kind of help out, but I know some of y'all want some chocolate, so it's good. All right. I've got some help here. All right. Let's see if you can name the kings, all right? Just have some fun up here. The first one. Wow. That was great. Who said that over here? Henry VIII? Got some history buffs. Y'all going to clean house. All right, I'm just going to throw you the chocolate. Henry VIII, famous, infamous king, however you want to say it. Real king. Also, maybe a real king. King Arthur. Good, good, good. Now, was he real or not? No? Are you serious? I grew up thinking he was real. Huh? Maybe. Okay, all right. A lot of debate about that, but yes, king of Camelot. King Arthur. Y'all ready? All right, here we go. I'm going to move quick. I think. Ah, wow. How many else said Lion King? How many else said Mufasa? Who said Simba? All right, y'all said Simba, you got it right. That is obviously the Lion, yes. Good job. The Lion King. Wow. All right, so the king of rock and roll, Elvis, actually got an applause first service, and y'all going, whoa, whatever. Nah, come on now. Or stick to the music theme. Yep, go a little old school, the king of pop. Yes, Michael Jackson. Speaking of pop culture. All right, Ned Stark, I don't know, maybe whisper that one to your neighbor. Didn't really know if you knew that one or not, all right. Michelangelo, famous statue. King David, yes. Really important to our story today. King David. How about this one? Wow, awesome job. Got y'all back there. King Aragorn, where's he famous for? Lord of the Rings, perfect, yes. Yes, the great kings. What's funny is I'm not sure how famous King Tut would actually be if it wasn't for Steve Martin. King Tut, the great king from Egypt. Oh, got some good guesses out there. Who thinks they know this one? This is actually, I didn't know this either, but I really like the statue, all right, to be honest. I thought I got to put this up there. This is King Alfred, yes, King Alfred of Wessex. King Alfred of Wessex. So if you got this one, you deserve the gold, all right? King Alfred of Wessex, cool statue there. And, of course, for you New Yorkers, who's got this one? Famous king, yes. King of Queens, all right. Little tricky. Not a pic. All right, yes. Don't have a picture of this king, but he's famous for a special version of the Bible that he was a part of translating. Somebody got it? King James, good. King James version. Who thinks they got the most answers? Correct. Who thinks they got the most? All right, if you think you did, I'm tossing this out. Nobody? How many got like 8 or 9 out of 12 or so? All right, come on up here, Angel. Come on up. All right, you can get after who you want. There you go. Plus you can catch. All right. King's weight in gold right there. That's that's what you wanted. Now, the King James Version, we kind of, you know, we talk about the Bible, and what's important for us to know, and I think all of us kind of understand, and we've been singing about it all morning, is that the Bible is the story of God, the ultimate King of kings, the King of all creation, the King who deserves our prayer, our praise and our worship. And God actually rules over all things. He made all things. He made mankind, and he made mankind to rule over them in love and peace and wisdom. But what happened in the story is that the people that God made decided that they wanted to rule their own lives and have it their own way. And as a result, God would come up with a plan for those who would allow him to actually be king in their life. And that king, or that plan, included God coming to earth in the flesh, the Son of God, the Messiah. The greatest gift in the history of the world was coming. The greatest gift of all. The King. Now, I don't know if you noticed the present on stage or not, but this is actually Lisa and I, we've been married 29 years today is our anniversary, all right? So that's, I was going to make up a story about how I got her a little gift for our anniversary, but the truth of the matter is we sometimes do buy gifts for our anniversaries, right? All right? Wives, especially, you just kind of, you know it's coming, and you look forward to the gift, you know, with anticipation and wonder, like, what's in the box? Christmas time. I mean, who already has Christmas presents under their tree? All right? You got Christmas. Y'all are wondering what's in those presents, aren't you? There's this wonder, this anticipation. What's in the box? You know, we kind of got to figure out, you know, it's all wrapped up and pretty, and there's something pretty cool in there. And we look forward to birthdays and anniversaries, and we look forward to Christmas time because of the gifts. And not only receiving them, but we enjoy wrapping them up and seeing the face when our loved ones open those presents as well. It's a pretty cool thing. And here's what's going on in the Old Testament and the Bible is that for centuries, people are waiting, they're anticipating, they're wondering when this Messiah, when this King is going to come. And Christmas is the true story in the Bible of the coming King of Kings. Christmas is a story of the greatest gift ever given to mankind coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. The entire Old Testament storyline is like this, it's like this wrapping paper, just waiting and wondering. All these true stories about God and about his people, about this coming gift of the Messiah. From the beginning in Genesis, the Old Testament it just wraps this gift up in hundreds of stories and prophecies and promises and predictions that point to the King of Kings, the greatest gift of all. The Old Testament prophets, if you look through your Old Testament, you see these prophets. And what the prophets are doing is they're like giving us an inside look, these clues to what's inside the box. They're it's like shaking it or, you know, kind of figuring out what it's all about. And they're looking at these clues about what the gift is, who this King would be and how he would be born and how he would live and how he would die. There's hundreds of these prophecies, hundreds of years before the Christmas story that we celebrate today even happened. We see these prophecies. In fact, a couple of examples that I picked out. One's from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah 7, 14. Isaiah says this, again, almost 700 years before our Christmas story. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son. It's prophecies, like looking at the box. This is where the gift is going to come from. A virgin mother bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Micah, another prophet, chapter 5, verse 2, says, "You, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah," he identifies Bethlehem, this small town, as a place that the Messiah would come from. This wrapping paper, he's giving us clues. It says, "You're going to come, you'll come from me, one who will be ruler over all Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." You see, these Old Testament prophecies, they give us clues. Again, hundreds and hundreds of years before the birth of the King. And God told us told us through prophet Isaiah that the Messiah would be of a virgin mother. You just read that. How true did that become? In fact, the accuracy of that one prophecy alone coming true is a miracle in itself, especially given how many years that the world would wait for that unwrapping to happen. Some scholars believe that there's more than 300 prophecies about the coming king in the Old Testament. And these clues are specific enough that the mathematic probability of one man fulfilling even a handful of them, let alone all of them, is staggering. It's mind-blowing, maybe even impossible. In 1958, there was this mathematician, astronomer named Peter Stoner. Maybe you've heard this before, but he studied and calculated the chances of the fulfillment of 108 of these messianic prophecies, these wrapping paper. He concluded that the probability of just 8 of those 108 prophecies coming to pass is conservatively 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Ladies and gentlemen, that's 1 in 100 quadrillion, the chances of one man fulfilling just 8 of 108 of those prophecies. That is crazy. Now, this popular illustration Stoner gives is that the odds of the gift matching the clues are equal to covering the state of Texas 2 feet deep in silver dollars. All right? And then marking one of those silver dollars and throwing it into the mass of silver dollars and mixing them up randomly. And then being able to find that one silver dollar on the first try. Blindfolded. The chances of the gift matching the clues would be a Christmas miracle. Man, you thought winning the lottery was hard. You thought, man, is it the odds? You unwrap centuries of clues and find one man fulfilling not just 8, not just 108, but every one of those messianic prophecies. Who was that king going to be? Who is the king that would fulfill these prophecies? Who is this story about the coming king about? Who is this Messiah? Well, you may know the answer, and I found this video from the Bible Project. I really like to kind of wrap it all and put it in perspective, not just for today and for Christmas, but for our entire series. Take a look at this video. It's about 5 minutes long, and then we'll continue in and talk about this coming.
There's this crazy story at the beginning of the Bible. We have Adam and Eve, and they're in the Garden of Eden.
And everything in this garden is great. It's exactly as it should be, except there's this one tree that they're told by God not to eat from because it's dangerous and it will kill them.
So that's it. Avoid this fruit tree and we're fine.
Right. It seems pretty simple. But in this garden, there's a snake, and it starts telling a different story. It says that if you eat of this tree, it's not going to kill you. In fact, it's going to make you become like God.
And Adam and Eve, they believe the snake and they eat the fruit.
And because of this, the goodness of the garden is tragically lost, and evil and death enters into God's good world.
Now, why is there a talking snake in the garden? I mean, this thing is a problem.
Yeah, it's very strange. And even more strange is the fact that the Bible doesn't say why or how this thing even got there. It just presents the snake as this creature who's in rebellion against God and that wants to get other people to doubt God's goodness and lead them on a path towards death. And so whatever this snake is, it's the source of evil that pervades our world and our lives, even still today.
But there is some hope, because right here in the story, God makes this really interesting promise to Adam and Eve.
That someone is going to come in the future, a son of Eve. And this guy's going to come and he's going to crush the serpent's head and destroy evil at its source. However, during this battle, the serpent is going to bite this guy's heel.
So it's like a mutual destruction.
Yeah, it's this very strange but beautiful promise. And it's just left hanging there until the next key moment in the story, when God singles out this guy named Abraham and says that through his family, goodness and blessing is going to be restored back to all of the nations of the world. And as we follow this family, we get to one of Abraham's great-grandsons, this guy named Judah. And he receives this promise that a king is going to come from his line and that the whole world's going to follow this king and he's going to bring peace and harmony and there'll be lots of food and wine and milk and vineyards and it's going to be awesome.
The first king that we meet from the line of Judah is a guy named King David. And he's a hero. Maybe he is the snake crusher.
But it turns out that David is infected with the same evil as the rest of humanity. He never crushes the snake, just the opposite. However, God makes a promise to David that this king is going to eventually come from his line. But as you go on in the story, one by one, each generation of his sons, they're just total chumps. They give in to the snake. They choose evil. They go after money and sex and power and following other gods.
Things get so bad that they run the nation of Israel right into the ground, and the big bad empire of Babylon just takes them out.
And so now there are no more kings to even fulfill this promise.
So it seems like the whole plan is lost.
But during these dark days, there's this crazy group of guys called prophets, and they just kept talking about this coming king and reminding us of the promise that he'll come, he'll defeat evil, he'll restore the garden. Now, one specific prophet, Isaiah, he tells us more about why this king is bitten. Isaiah says that the promised king receives this wound because of humanity's evil and that it kills him. But then all of a sudden he comes back. And Isaiah says it's because he suffered this wound that he can now become a source of healing to other people.
But the Old Testament ends, and the snake-crushing king that everyone's been talking about never shows up.
And this is why, when the New Testament begins, it introduces us to Jesus of Nazareth, not as some random guy, but as someone who comes to fulfill these specific ancient promises.
Yeah, we learn that he's from the line of David, Judah, and Abraham.
And he goes around Israel announcing that the goodness of God's kingdom is here now. And he begins confronting the effects of evil on people by healing them, by forgiving them of their sins and evil.
Many people are now believing that this is, in fact, the promised king.
But Jesus began telling his closest followers that he was going to become king and bring peace by taking the full effect of humanity's evil into himself.
The fatal snake bite wound.
Exactly. And so it seems like the serpent wins. And this story actually would be a tragedy except for what happens next. Jesus rises from the dead.
And now Jesus has the power over evil and death for himself.
And so the rest of the New Testament is then making this claim that Jesus' power over evil and death has now become available to us to begin confronting the effects of evil in our lives.
But even still, death and evil are a real problem in our world all around us.
And so the story of the Bible ends by describing this future day when Jesus comes back and he finishes the job. He destroys the snake once and for all, and he restores the goodness of the garden here on earth.
Oh yeah, the king. Y'all, the king is coming. The king is coming, and that's what Christmas is about. But you know who the king is? The king is Jesus. Jesus is the king. Do you know that this morning? Do you know that the king is Jesus, the coming king, the king of the Old Testament, the king that all the Old Testament points to, that all of the gift wrap is about, that all of the prophecies are about? You see, God wraps this gift up for us, Jesus. And in the New Testament, unwraps this gift, man, before our eyes, and it contains the story of the king, Jesus. Now, if you're like me, you really look forward to Christmas time growing up. I mean, y'all as kids, man, you're like, you would fill out we had this thing called the Sears catalog. You remember that? Some of y'all like, what in the world is he talking about? Before the internet, you had to go through this catalog and find pictures and write a list of things that you wanted Santa Claus to bring you. So we'd look forward to Christmas and we'd make a list of these things that we wanted and we would mail them. We would actually literally put a stamp in a paper envelope and put it in the mailbox. And the mail, you guys know there's a post office, and it kind of would deliver it to the North Pole, and Santa would watch if we're naughty. Anyway, I'm getting on all that because, you know, I like Christmas, okay? You can do that. And you put out cookies to kind of bribe him, you know, to leave you the good stuff and stay up half the night, you know, just kind of, you know, because you're so anxious and anticipating the presents that are going to come in, and then drive your parents crazy because at the crack of dawn, guess who's up and yelling and hooping and hollering, and you're just sitting there kind of waiting. Christmas is a lot of fun, and hopefully you've had that kind of experience. Now, I thought waiting a whole year and a night was a long time. to wait for those gifts. For centuries, God's people waited to unwrap the gift of the king. And the Old Testament just ends. And for 400 years, there's silence until Christmas, until the New Testament. Now, in our New Testament, we have the first four books, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, that tell the story of the unwrapping of the greatest gift ever given to the world, King Jesus. It tells of his birth. Mark, chapter 1. Mark actually begins his book with the gift already unwrapped, with an adult Jesus and John the Baptist, this great prophet, Jesus' cousin, and he's preaching. He's preaching to repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. And he says, prepare the way for the Lord. And then reveals God's great plan and Jesus as king, the Messiah. The book of John. John gives a whole different twist on the story. He unwraps the gift in a different way. He tells of this cosmic Christmas, of how in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word of God becomes flesh and lives on earth as a person, as a king, King Jesus. Matthew and Luke, these other two books, well, they give this classic wrapping paper. Many of us have heard the stories, maybe even on TV this week, and the Christmas specials or the Christmas cards, and you hear it in the songs. Most of those songs and things come from Matthew and Luke. It's just this classic wrapping where God sets the stage for the human birth of the coming king. And in the story, we just kind of see this. Matthew gives this historical Jewish perspective. He unwraps King Jesus' heritage through Joseph, a Jewish carpenter. Joseph, you see, would father Jesus growing up. And Matthew includes his family tree by tracing back thousands of years of Hebrew history through the line of David, all the way to Abraham, to prove to his Jewish readers that Jesus is the king that they were waiting for. And Luke, the book of Luke, Dr. Luke, man, he gives us this amazing details, the Greek perspective of the unwrapping of the gift of Jesus' birth. It's kind of like 23andMe. I mean, he orders it right up. He wants to trace the DNA, trace the king all the way back through the Jewish bloodline of the Virgin Mary. And that's what he does. Luke wraps the gift of King Jesus into a story so classic that even Linus in the Peanuts Christmas knows it by heart. That's the book of Luke. In chapter 1, verse 30, he records these words. The angel Gabriel says to Mary, who is a virgin with child, do not be afraid, Mary. Could you imagine just for a second? I can't. I'm a man. But I can imagine what was going through her mind. And the angel comes to give her comfort and says this promise. You have found favor with God. All the way back to Isaiah's promise. Remember, 680 years prior, this gift was wrapped. And now Mary is receiving this from the angel. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. You see, her son would have a name. He's coming soon. And her son would have a title. The title? Wait for it. Y'all wait for it now. What was the title that her son would receive? King. King Jesus. Listen to what Gabriel goes on and says to her. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. And his kingdom will never end. King Jesus. This is huge. It's huge. You see, the wait for a king would soon be over. He is coming, and his name is Jesus, King Jesus. It'd be like Christmas morning waiting for gifts. Can you imagine being just hearing those words through Mary's ears, waiting to give birth to a king? Can you imagine being his father, Joseph, as they waited together to unwrap this gift on Christmas morning? Can you imagine Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, who waited with joy? Or her husband, this priest named Zacharias, who waited like Christmas morning for King Jesus. Whoa, would he be excited when King Jesus finally arrived. And their son, John the Baptist, he waited, and like Christmas morning for this King Jesus. And would he be thrilled when King Jesus finally arrived on the scene? And Simeon, we read about Simeon in Luke chapter 2, this righteous man who waited eagerly to present the King of Kings in the temple. And like Christmas morning, Simeon would be ecstatic when King Jesus finally arrived in his house. They all waited. Waited like Christmas morning they waited, and the whole world waited for King Jesus to be unwrapped. That's what this King Jesus series is all about. Beginning with his birth, we're going to look at the life of this king, the things that Jesus did that showed that he was God with skin on. We're going to look at the events in his life that proved him to be the undisputed one and only King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King Jesus was coming into his kingdom, and it was in the most unexpected of ways, as a helpless infant, a baby. But you know, that's what Christmas is all about. It's about the king who is about to be born into a world, y'all, that would never, ever be the same again. King Jesus, he would come on Christmas. And he would save the world. He would come to change the world forever. And he has ever since. And he still does today. For over 2,000 years, King Jesus has changed the world. He has changed history. He has changed my life. And he has changed yours too. You see, Christianity is not about a religion. It's about a king. The church, all that we do, all that we are here at CCW, it's about a king, King Jesus, whom God says through the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2. You may know these words. Paul writes, "Therefore God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord in heaven and on earth and under the earth." That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The same King Jesus that Paul wrote about, John wrote about in the book of Revelation. King Jesus, the very end of our Bible, Revelation 19. If these words don't say king, tell me what does. Listen to these words. Just imagine as John opens up and he's given this vision. Revelation 19, as I saw heaven opened up, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head this crown of diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. And he, this king, is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. John goes on, from his mouth comes a sharp sword so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And verse 16, on his robe, the robe of the king, on his thigh is a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to read that again. On his robe and on his thigh, there is a name written. It is the name, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, King Jesus. King Jesus rules, and he rules with love, and he rules with power, and he rules with justice. King Jesus. And he is king. Y'all, he is king whether you ask him to be your king or not. He is king whether you want him to be king or not. He is king whether you are for him or not. But be aware, as Revelation says, if you're not for him, you're against him. Because that's how kings roll. You have to decide whose kingdom you're going to be a part of and what king you're going to serve in your life. And I believe that the kind of the king that you serve will be determined by the choices that you make and the lifestyle that you live and who you bow a knee to on a daily basis. Jesus is the king, and he is king so that he can be your king and mine. Your king, the king of the Old Testament, the king of the new, the king before and during and after, all that we know in history, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the yes, and Jesus, the end. And yes, Jesus, the king of Christmas, the king of Christmas came to earth. He came to earth to be king of your life. That's what this is all about. So the question is he your king? Is he truly your king? You see, this is the most important question that any of us could ever answer. See, if it's true and he is king, nothing and no one matters more. And if he's not, he doesn't matter at all. You see, Jesus came to be king of all or not at all. And I pray that this Christmas, and I pray that always, we will seek him as king. And we will surrender our lives to him as king and serve him as king of our lives. King Jesus. King Jesus was born as a baby. We're going to learn more about that next week. But you got to know this morning, King Jesus also lived a perfect life. He did miracles and he healed and he taught and he led and he loved as a perfect king. And King Jesus, he gave his life for his people. He gave his life for his kingdom and he gave his life for you and I, the perfect king. And King Jesus died and King Jesus rose from the dead. And now King Jesus lives to rule at the right hand of God, King of kings and Lord of lords. And your life depends on you knowing and loving and living for Jesus as king of your life. Seek him, surrender to him, and serve him as your king. Amen. You know, Christmas, we get so lost in what it's all about. Make no mistake about it. Christmas, all the gifts, all the wrapping, all the things we think about. Christmas is about the coming king who God wrote about thousands and thousands of years ago. The King of Kings who he didn't just write about, but actually was fulfilled in Jesus Christ of Nazareth 2,000 years ago. And it is still true today. It's still true today what the prophet Isaiah wrote. In Isaiah chapter 9, long before Jesus was born, he wrote these words. It just is these clues, this wrapping paper, just waiting for the gift to be open. Isaiah wrote this, words for all of us to cherish. He says, "For to us a child is born." To us, it's just your gift. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on. That time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And on Christmas, he accomplished it. The king is coming. Jesus is the king. King Jesus, your king. And he can be your king. He can be your wonderful counselor if you need wisdom, your mighty God when you need strength, your everlasting Father to love and to guide and to protect you, your Prince of Peace in a life full of busyness and chaos and confusion. He can be your king if you want him to be. It's why he came. It's who he is, King Jesus. So don't miss him. Don't miss him this Christmas. Don't miss your king. Learn about him. Read and study the king. I want to invite you to jump into the book of Matthew with us as a church, just to start this week, to prepare room for him in your heart, to see how he came to earth and how his life unfolded. The book of Matthew, it's a great reading plan. Just jump in there. There's all kinds of resources we'll make available to you as we go through this series so that you'll know the King of Kings and worship him and live for him. And next week we're going to see that the king is coming, and we're going to see what's inside the present that's been wrapped for us. I'd unwrap it now, but you got to come back next week. You got to come back next week because the king is coming. And then on Christmas Eve, we're going to celebrate a royal Christmas. And we want you to be here and to invite your friends and your family to come, because next week we're going to talk about the king is coming, and on the royal Christmas, we're going to see why that is so important to our lives and how it happened. Invite everyone you know. The king is coming. He's coming. Do y'all believe that? Do y'all know that's true? He came once. He's coming again. So make the next couple of weeks special. Invite everyone you know, because Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's king. And he's your king. Watch this video, and then we'll be dismissed. Let's stand and pray together. And let me tell you, if there's somebody here today, I know this, that needs to make Jesus king of their life, our prayer team, I'll be up here. Some of our leaders, our elders will be up here to pray with you and talk with you if that's a decision you need to make today. And God, no matter what it is, guys, just understand we leave this place with a king who wants you more than anything, to seek him, to serve him, to surrender your life to him. Let's pray. God, we love you. Thank you so much for the gift of Jesus. And God, I pray as we leave this place, we won't just be here for a couple of hours on a Sunday morning and say he's king, but God, we will leave this place living with Jesus as king of our lives. God, speak through us, use us any way you can this week. And I pray that as we prepare and make room for him in our hearts this Christmas, God, that you would use us however possible to share the gift with the world around us. We love you, God, and we thank you. It's in Jesus, our king, we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great week.